السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وجوه يومئذ مسفرة، ضاحكة مستبشرة، ووجوه يومئذ عليها غبرة، ترهقها قترة، أولئك هم الكفرة الفجرة. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers, also assisted at the madrasa and those listening over receivers, we'll try and complete this story that we have been discussing. Hazrat Muhammad ibn Hussein Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh, a very great saintly figure, a great personality from Baghdad. So he purchased one slave girl, and in those days, as I explained, slavery was in vogue. Some of those slaves were very, very pious people, but they were ill-treated because of them being slaves. Islam came, gave them rights. So many Sahaba-e-Kiram radiallahu anhum ajma'in, they purchased slaves and freed them. And those who did keep them, because there was wisdom at that time in retaining this slavery which was in vogue. Millions of people were slaves. Now, if Islam had straight away ordered that everyone must be freed, where are they going to go? What are they going to eat? How are they going to live? Where are they going to find accommodation, shelter? So immediately, they were not told that release and free every slave. Those who had slaves, they were told, look after them, feed them what you eat, clothe them what you wear, give them accommodation, treat them in a humane manner. So they were much more happier to be slaves than being freed people. But then for many, many reasons, they were encouraged to free them. Now the usools and the principles governing this slavery, they are there in the books of jurisprudence, but we are not discussing that. What we are saying, that when he purchased this slave girl and he brought her, he found her to be an extremely pious young girl, very, very knowledgeable, someone that had great love and liking for the awliya of the time. She even had the knowledge of those awliya from Baghdad. She even mentioned their names when she was asked that who are those people that she knows from Baghdad. And then she recited some poetry, which also we have discussed. NH2211. Please remove your car. Then when she asked Hazrat Hussain Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh, that where he was from, and when she gave the names of those people that she knew, one of them that she mentioned was Hazrat Hussain Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh. Now, so she knew that he was a great reciter of the Quran Sharif, a very beautiful reciter of the Quran Sharif. Very, very beautiful recitation. So she requested him to recite. Every time that he recited an ayat of the Quran Sharif, this little girl, young girl, but she collapses. She goes into a state of unconsciousness. He sprinkles some water over her, she gains consciousness. Then again he tells her, she again tells him to read. He starts recitation again. Now some of the ayat and verses that he recited, we discussed in the last two majalis. We will now proceed further from where we had left off. And of course that dua that she recited or made, which is found in other books also, where she says that Ilahi la tu'azibni fa inni. And if my memory serves me right, it is one of the du'as of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. But she said, Ilahi la tu'azibni fa inni muqirrum billazi qad kana minni. Do not punish me, O Allah, for I am acknowledging my mistakes. I'm just giving you the explanation that I'm acknowledging my mistakes. I am acknowledging my weakness, my shortcoming. Now it does not mean that these great Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu ajma'een, all the great Tabi'een, Taba Tabi'een, the Awliya Siddiqeen, when they say that, it does not mean that they were sinful. Sometimes we have a total misunderstanding that if the person is saying that, then he must be speaking the truth. Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh, he said that I am the lowest amongst you. I consider myself as the lowest amongst all of you. Now all the students, now he's telling them that I consider myself the lowest. So one of the students, he said, well, if he's saying that, so then he must be truthful. He can't be speaking a lie. Because if he's speaking a lie, then he cannot be a pious person. And if he is speaking the truth, so then what is the purpose of studying under him when he is the lowest? So then somebody explained to him that what they mean is that if you have to look at the azmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then these people consider themselves to be totally nothing, absolutely nothing. They annihilate themselves because the azmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is before them all the time. I gave one example before also that if a person is flying high in the air and he is on 30,000 feet above sea level, so if he's going to look down, then he will say, I am very, very high in the air. But if he looks up, then there's somebody at 90, there's somebody at 120, and there's someone that has landed on the moon, and somebody that's going even further. So then he will realize that looking at those people that are higher than himself, that 30,000 is nothing. And looking at the space above that, then what is 30,000? If the moon is 240,000 miles away from the earth, so what is 30,000 feet above sea level? Nothing. So they look above Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's azmat, his greatness. They don't look at those little wazifas that they read and some zikr, tilawat, ibadat that they make. That is why they say we are absolutely nothing, or we are insignificant. So that is what he said, Ilahi la tu'azibni. O Allah, do not punish me, for inni muqirrum billazi qad kana minni. I am not one of those that denies. I am not one of those that is in a state of denial, as we say. I am acknowledging my weakness. I am acknowledging my sins. Now, they committed no sins, but they say that we are acknowledging our sins. That means they realize that we cannot really do justice to that ibadat. How can we do justice? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala zaat is azim. He said, how many of my mistakes and weaknesses, if only you had not forgiven them, then I would have been disgraced. But most of it you have forgiven. People consider me to be very pious and righteous, but I would be the worst amongst mankind if only you do not forgive my sins. After having recited that poetry, which we have already discussed, I'm not going into the details. Then she collapsed. Again she collapsed. Her ta'alluq with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was such that she could not take that pain. Her heart was filled with love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which we cannot even understand. But this time when she collapsed, as Hussein Baghdadi Rahmatullah Alayhi says, that this time when she collapsed, she passed away. Death came upon her. Now a person asking that you must read this verse, read that verse, making tawbah, making istighfar, and then in that state passing away, that itself shows that what kind of mubarak death that must have been. So he says, when she collapsed and passed away, her death filled me with great sorrow. I went to the marketplace to buy some material for her burial, but when I returned, I found that the body had already been wrapped in green covering. He went to buy material to give her kafan. Says when he returned, found that the body is already wrapped, as if somebody gave her ghusl and gave her kafan. And the kafan was also fragrantly scented and ready for burial. She was ready for burial. On the green kafan, which is reminiscent of the dress of the people of paradise, two lines were brightly written. In the first line was written, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. That was written in one line on that green kafan, which had come from Jannat, which angels clothed her and gave her kafan, nobody knows. And in the second line was written, Allah, Inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wala hum yahzanoon. Verily the friends of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they shall have no fear and they shall have no grief. Day of Qiyamah, no grief, no sorrow, no worry, nothing. Under the shade of the throne of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they shall reside. They'll be told to enter into Jannat. Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutmainna irji'i ila rabbike raziyatan marziya fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. So now this young girl, she's already clothed, she's been already given kafan. It is very clear that no human being has brought that kafan. It is very clear that this ayat also nobody engraved or wrote with their own hands. Of course, there are certain things that we must understand, that these are incidents which have been recorded. But when it comes to Sharia, then there are certain things that we are not allowed to do. Now, here a person did not write with his own hands on the kafan and they said, now we're going to take this girl and bury her in the and put sand on that ayat of the Quran Sharif. He did not mean that. Afterwards, whether they removed the top part of the kafan because she had other sheets also covering her, we don't know. But for us, there was a time here in South Africa also, and alhamdulillah, many places now they have changed. Otherwise, over the janazah there used to be that cloth, and it used to have ayat of the Quran Sharif written on it. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and other ayat. Now people that used to handle that, we know that many of them sometimes are not in a state of wuzu. And then again, when the burial is taking place, they remove it from the top of that janaza, and then they throw it like that to this person, and that person throw it to the next person, and he throws it back into the van and into the hearse. Now all that was disrespect for the ayat of the Quran Sharif. So therefore people had to be educated that you should not write ayat of the Quran Sharif on those cloths that are covering the janazas. Now here this kafan came from Jannat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wanted to show the high position of this woman, and who knows that the moment they placed her in the qabr, what happened to that kafan, or did they remove it? Now that is not mentioned. But being a person who was a very great alim and a very great scholar, then obviously it is expected that it could have been removed before the burial. So this was just by the way. So the second ayat was, Allah, inna awliya Allah, the friends of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, la khawfun alayhim wala hum yahzanun, no fear and no grief upon them. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's friendship, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Allah, oh Allah Ta'ala says, in awliya'uhu illa al-muttaqoon. Who are the friends of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Those people who have got taqwa, they alone are the walis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala in the same ayat after that says, Alladheena amanu wa kanu yattaqoon. These two sifat, the two attributes, iman and taqwa. When a person has that, then he's got the wilayat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now look at Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's favor upon us. A person would not like to make, if he's a king, then he doesn't want to make friends with just any ordinary person selling onions, potatoes, tomatoes, or he's sweeping the street, or the person is a very poor person with patched clothes. He doesn't want to make friends with him. He wants to always make friends with the person who is booted, suited. That is the one he wants to make friends with. And the person who's got big buildings, big properties, great assets, oil wells, kingdoms, do they want to make friendship with those type of people? They don't want to make friendship with just any ordinary person on the street. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He has kept His wilayat open to everybody, irrespective of whether that person has got a cent in his pocket or he hasn't got. Whether the person is a millionaire and a billionaire, or whether the person is just an ordinary, simple laborer. Whether the person is living in a palace, or whether the person is living in a hut, or is living in a shack. Whether the person is black, or whether he is white. Whether the person is strong, or he is weak. Irrespective of what condition that person is in, from the material point of view. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, my wilayat and my friendship is open for everybody. Come with two sifat, come with two attributes, iman and taqwa. And these two things are such that for which you don't require money. You don't require money. Look at it across the board, the poorest of the poor, he can have iman and he can have taqwa. And the richest of the rich, he can have iman and he can have taqwa. That is our Allah. That nobody can say that this discrimination and this segregation and this favoritism business, nothing like that. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala kept that door open for His wilayat. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala becoming the wali of an ordinary person who could be a street sweeper, but he's got piety, he's got taqwa, and he's got iman. Allah Ta'ala says, he's my friend. Allah Ta'ala is prepared to put that taj of wilayat on our heads. And He is saying that I am prepared to become, make you my friend. But the only condition is have iman. And iman also must not be just the knowledge of iman. This is Mawlana Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah Alayh. He said, ek hai janna aur ek hai manna. One is to know and one is to obey. So as far as knowledge is concerned of iman, we all know. What is iman? We'll say iman is that the person makes tasdeeq of what? Amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi. Now all that we will read it out. Iman e mujmal, iman e mufassal. Now that is knowing what iman is. And now that is not what is required. What is required is a true conviction and belief in that which we are terming as basis of iman. The person must truly believe in that. The person who truly believes in the existence of Allah Ta'ala as an all-seeing, all-hearing, all-knowing Allah, before whom we have to stand on the day of judgment and account for our deeds and actions, then can he commit fraud? Can the person be stealing? Can the person be committing adultery, fornication? Can the person be just committing all kinds of sins and vices? Yes, sometime accidentally the person, nafs and shaitan overpowers him and he fell into that trap. So then he doesn't remain complacent and satisfied. He doesn't express any kind of happiness in that state of sin. He makes so much of tawbah and istighfar that even the angels of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala begin crying. That is how he makes istighfar. Oh, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, enough my servant, enough, I have forgiven you. That's how he then makes istighfar. Look at the istighfar and tawbah of the sahaba kiram radiyallahu anhu ajma'in. How many incidents there are there. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, this is what He wants, that obedience. Accidents can take place. Person is driving very, very carefully and suddenly he just dozes off and an accident can take place. Or somebody comes and hits into him. So that is different. But to be negligent, to be indifferent, ghaflat, the major weakness and sickness of our time is ghaflat, indifference, negligence, unconcern. The person committing sin is not even concerned that my Allah is watching, or he is not even concerned about what the people will say. He brags about his sin, he advertises his sin, he sits openly in the cinemas, rave club, discos where they are photographing him and his pictures appear in the newspapers, and the person is unconcerned. This ghaflat is a sickness. That's why I always say that this ghaflat is a hen which lays a lot of eggs. All the other eggs are laid by this hen of ghaflat. The person, whether he's in disco, cinema, theatre, rave club, adultery, fornication, these are all the eggs of that ghaflat. Indifference, negligence, unconcern. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is prepared to put the taj, the crown of wilayat, of His friendship onto our heads on just two conditions, iman and taqwa. When the person does amal as-salih, then that is taqwa. So it's not difficult, it's not difficult. And once the person has got Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's friendship, Allah Ta'ala's wilayat, then it does not mean that after that the person will not fall sick, the person won't meet up with accident, the person won't suffer poverty. He could probably go through many, many different kinds of tests and trials. But in our times, Allah Ta'ala does not even try it like that. But Allah Ta'ala will give this person that sukoon in the heart, as we have been discussing many, many times. The person will still enjoy sukoon because he's got that friendship of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We haven't heard of any wali of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala committing suicide. Because of poverty, did we hear of any wali committing suicide? Or because he was so depressed with all the worries and problems of the world, or because that person was going through a lot of difficulties and hardships and pain, so therefore he committed suicide? If that was the case, then Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu should have been the first one. Not one wali of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala committed suicide because of any kind of test and trial and difficulties. And look at our times. How many people with everything at their disposal, big, big homes, big, big bank balances, but yet look at the number of people that are committing suicide. So the friendship of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is for everyone. The door is open for everyone. Two things, that is iman and taqwa. He says, my friend and I, we picked up the corpse, we recited the funeral prayers and we buried the body. Now what else could they do? She passed away, so now they took her and they buried her. There we recited Surah Yasin Sharif, and with tears of sorrow upon her death, I returned to my room. After having performed two rakats of salah, he says, I fell asleep. And in the dream he saw that she was walking in paradise. Now in the dream he sees her walking in paradise. She was dressed in silk and brocade with a crown of pearls on her head. On her feet she had some red ruby-covered shoes, and from her person exuded the most fragrant smell of musk and amber. This is what he sees now, her condition in Jannat, in paradise. Her face shone brighter than the moon and the sun. In the dream I said to her, wait a while, tell me, what is it that you did in your lifetime that Allah Ta'ala gave you this honor? What was that special amal that you made? She was making namaz, she was making zikr, tilawat, and she was reading Quran Sharif. All those things she was doing. Now many a times there is some special amal that the person does. And we'll find in many, many instances a forgiveness of a person on some special amal that the person did. And it's not necessary also that that amal is a very, very great amal. Like that one woman of disrepute, ill repute, she just gave a dog that was dying of thirst some water. She took her leather socks out and pulled up the water from the well, and after that gave it to the dog that was dying of thirst. And the Nabi of the time was informed that Allah Ta'ala forgave this woman because of that. Now was that some great amal that she did? But that does not mean then that after that it is a license now that the people can do all kinds of sins and just look for some dying dog and give some water and you go to Jannah. It doesn't mean that. We have to understand everything. So sometimes the amal is small, but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala loves that amal. In the dream, people see that Allah Ta'ala forgave this person for this reason or for that reason. Now, there are so many incidents coming to mind, but I don't want to go into that. I want to complete this tonight. So he asked her that, what is that special amal that you made? What are those actions of yours upon which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala blessed you with this? She replied that it is the reward for my having loved the poor. I loved the poor. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is with those who are broken hearted. We're not talking about the professional beggars that run around door to door, or those who don't work. We're not talking about them. Those who are genuinely poor, they're genuinely in need. They want to earn a livelihood. They want to stand on their feet. They don't want to extend their hands and beg. They do not want to even ask of anyone. They would like to conceal as much as possible their poverty. Now those who love such kind of poor people, now there are so many ahadith, look in the Fazail Sadaqat of the Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So those people who love such kind of poor people, so their rewards are very great. Because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, it is He who distributes the sustenance of people in this world. نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. It's not that we distribute. So Allah Ta'ala's system is like that He gives to the rich so that they give to the poor. Allah Ta'ala gives to the healthy so that they may give to those who are disabled and those who are suffering from other kinds of handicap. Whenever a person is handicapped, that little child who cannot walk, or the child is suffering from other kind of pain and problems and is totally dependent on the parents. Different kinds of sicknesses are in vogue today. Sometimes those children are 15 years of age, 20 years of age, 30 years of age, but the parent has to look after that child. Although they are grown up, but they are like little children. So many people think that now this is a burden upon us. Or there is an old person in the house, or the wife and is going through some kind of pain and suffering, and this husband has to take care of her, although she may not be able to take care of him. She's totally dependent on assistance and help instead of she being the one that takes care of the kitchen and the home. Now at such a time, the person must not feel that he is doing some great favor. Allah Ta'ala then gives him rizq and sustenance so that he takes care of the old, of the handicapped, and of the one that is weak and the one that is sick. Allah Ta'ala gives rizq because of that to those people. So like that, the rich are also given. وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. And in their wealth is a share, is a right for those who ask and those who don't ask for. They are deprived mean the people, they don't ask. And because they don't ask, people like think that they are insufficiency. So she says, I loved the poor. It's not just a question of just giving some charity, we have to understand. One is love and one is just giving some charity. A person can give charity sometime. But one is love of the poor, where we don't consider them as being inferior to us. This is a sifat which is only in the awliya siddiqeen. As I explained, that we're not talking about those door-to-door beggars and professionals. We're talking about those who are truly poor and it is due to circumstances, it is not due to their own doings. So now this love, that means the person does not consider them as being inferior, he considers them as being an assistant to him in getting his Jannat. Because if these people were not existing and not in living, if they were not in the society, then where would he have given his zakat? Zakat, which is an ibadat, which is farz, which is obligatory. Now, if there were no poor people, and a time will come, when people will take the zakat and they will go, but people will say, I don't need it, I got enough. Therefore, he says, before that time comes, give the zakat. So the poor people are in actual fact assisting the rich, because the zakat obligation would not have been fulfilled if they were not living, if they were not existing. So she loved, she said, I loved the poor. They don't consider themselves as inferior. In weddings, walimas, other functions, and many different majalis and programs, if some rich people are sitting, or people clothed in very, very nice, bright, shining clothes, so then if some poor person has to just come away and sit there, then they find themselves very uncomfortable. And you even find some people moving away from there. Now that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala detests, he dislikes. A time could come then when Allah Ta'ala snatches it away from that rich person and gives it to the others. Many, many people, they were like that, who at one time were big, big names in society. And then the time came when nobody even knew that they existed. So love of the poor. That in the heart we say, Ya Allah, it is only your ihsan that you gave us a good home, gave us a good car, gave us good clothes, gave us good food. If you had not blessed us with all that, what would have happened if you put us in that person's shoes and put him into our shoes? As a Sheikh Sadi Shirazi Rahmatullahi, he went to one nikah. So his clothes were not very up to date. And they were all the rich people that were sitting there. So they may find themselves uncomfortable. That here's a person who has come with some patch on his clothes and it doesn't seem to fit in with the society. So they ignored him. They didn't even give him to eat. When they were dishing out also, they were dishing out the other side. Nobody was really asking him anything. So he kept quiet and he left. The next time that he went to a wedding, so he wore a nice kurta, nice clothes, and then he went. When the time came to dish out the food, he picks the morsel up, and instead of putting it in his mouth, he puts on his kurta. Then again, second one, he did like that, and he threw on his kurta. So the people that were sitting there, all those rich people, they said, you've gone off your head or something. You're supposed to be eating the food, not throwing on your clothes. And then he picks it up again from his kurta and eats it. But the kurta became messed with that oil and with that food. So he said, I know very well that this food is supposed to go direct in the mouth. But the last time that I came, because I did not wear good clothes, so nobody bothered about feeding and giving me food. And I was looked down upon. And now today when I wore nice, good, clean clothes and came, so everybody is asking me, what about you, dish out. So I'm telling my kurta that they are feeding you. Respect is of you, not me. They are looking at the clothes. So therefore I should feed you because it looks like the respect is for you, not for me. So he was just teaching them a lesson. So she says that this is what I had, one sifat. That I loved the poor. Now in the dream she's saying it. The second sifat that I had, or second quality, or something that I used to do in abundance, is istighfar. Seeking forgiveness from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Although she was so righteous, so pious, so God-fearing, but she says I used to engage in abundant istighfar. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam 70 times a day is making istighfar. and in some ahadiths 100 times a day. That Rasul of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if it had not been for him, we would not have come into this world. The universe would not have come into existence. نہ مسجد نہ مسجد کے اونچے مینارے نہ قبلہ نہ کعبہ نہ مکہ مدینہ اگر محمد نہ ہوتے تو کچھ بھی نہ ہوتا. Our ایمان our اسلام because of him, and yet 70 times a day, 100 times a day is making استغفار. For which sins was he making استغفار? So how much more istighfar we should make, how much forgiveness we should seek from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for our sins. When every breath of ours that we inhale and exhale is nothing but sins. So she says I have to make istighfar in abundance. And then the third thing she said was that I have to remove obstacles from the people's path. Anything that would have caused any kind of pain or hurt to anyone that is walking, she says, I have to remove that obstacle. Now that is again a hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, Al-imanu bid'un wa sab'una shu'ba, afzaluha qawlu la ilaha illallah, wa adnaha imatatul aza'an al-tariq, wal haya'u shu'batun min al-iman. There's no time to discuss the whole Hadith Sharif, but one of it is Imatatul Aza. The closest branch is Imatatul Aza Ani Tariq. The superior most is La Ilaha Illallah. Removing obstacle, removing anything that would cause anybody any kind of pain and injury. So if that is a branch of Iman, then where can there be justification for putting things in the path of people that would cause them pain, injury, hurt? How unconcerned we are. Eating bananas, just throw the peel anywhere. Eating oranges, throw the peel anywhere. Sometimes we take our dirt and throw it into the neighbor's yard. Sometimes we do other things which cause great hurt, pain, injury to somebody or the other. Look at all those people who are stealing all the steel and iron and all the manhole covers are going. Now they are unconcerned. We went to Karachi, no different there too, just like here now. The whole street, not one manhole you can find, that cover of that manhole. Now when you're walking, therefore look at the great wisdom of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that keep your gaze lowered, so at least you can see that, you know, otherwise you'll go straight into that manhole. If everybody was looking up and walking, then you'll find one by one all going inside there, and then you'll have to pull them out like fishing. So now those people are unconcerned whether somebody dies or somebody lives, that is not their problem, as long as they make some money. So Islam teaches that they must not even throw anybody in anybody's way, or don't put any kind of obstacle in any person's way, and says it's a branch of Iman that the person removes the obstacle. Therefore, whilst we are walking, if we come across something that we believe would cause some kind of injury or pain to someone or hurt, then what does it cost if we just remove it from the way, put it in the side of the wall? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will become so pleased. He says, this is one of the things that I used to do because of which I got these high stages in Jannah. Inshallah, if Allah ta'ala wills, gives life, health and opportunity, then we'll discuss these three things. See, thereafter she said, blessed is he who spent the nights awake in prayer and in restlessness for Allah's love, and weeps and wails for faults committed, and in sorrow and grief for sins admitted, and in fear of Allah Ta'ala's anger stands before him by night, while on high Allah's grace protects them. How many lessons this young girl gave to us. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand and to make amal. عمل سے بنتی ہے زندگی یہ جنت بھی جہنم بھی یہ خاک ہی اپنی فطرت میں نہ نوری ہے نہ ناری ہے. May Allah تعالیٰ reward you all for coming in this kind of weather. But now after the dua, don't wait to make musafa and shake hands. If your family is at the madrasa, then proceed immediately there. Otherwise you'll get wet outside there in the rain. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Ya Rahim, Ya Kareem, Ya Mawla. Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram, Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram, Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram. My beloved Allah, a slave girl, but what kind of iman, what kind of taqwa, what kind of amal, what kind of beautiful actions in her life. You have given us freedom to do everything, yet we are unconcerned, we are negligent, we are indifferent. Hum ghaflat ke darya mein doobe hue hain. Mere Mawla, hum ghaflat ke darya mein doobe hue hain. Who can take us out of the ocean of indifference except you, my beloved Allah? Hawa wo hirs wala dil badal de, mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Hawa wo hirs wala dil badal de, mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Badal de dil ki dunya, dil badal de. Khudaya fazl farma, dil badal de. Forgive our major sins and our minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, in the light of day or darkness of nights. Forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, our hands and feet, our heart and mind. Tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi, tere siwa koi hamara nahi. Hum gunegar hai, siyakar hai, badkar hai, mujrim aur khatakar hai, sab kuch hai bande magar tere. We are your slaves, my beloved Allah. There is no other door that we can tap, there is no other home in which we can beg. If you have to turn away your glance of mercy and forgiveness because of our sins, where do we go, my Allah? If a dog is chased from one butcher, it can go to another. If a beggar is chased from one home, he can go to another. But if you have to turn away your glance of mercy and forgiveness, where do we go, my Allah? Become ours and make us yours. Become ours and make us yours. Bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirah. Don't deprive us of the good things of this world and the good things of akhirah. Ya Allah, bless us with your rahmat, with your mercy, with your kindness. Bless us with prosperity, with happiness, with contentment, with satisfaction. Bless us with rizq, which is 100% halal. Don't let even a morsel of haram go down our throats. Ya Allah, protect us from the fitnas that are lashing at us from all sides. My beloved Allah, bless us with barakat in our businesses, in our homes, in our time, in our lives. Make our children righteous and pious. Make them the coolness of our eyes. Ya Allah, those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in poverty, give them wealth. Ya Allah, those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. We are spiritually sick, we are physically ill. Mere Mawla, hum bimar hai. Shifa aapke daste qudrat mein hai. Shifa lies in your hands, my Allah. Dua aur dawa mein asar hai zarur. Marizo ki shifa lekin daste khuda mein hai. Ya Allah, those who are sick and ailing, whether they're in hospitals, in clinics, in homes or amongst us. Ya Allah, wherever they may be, bless them with complete shifa. Ya Allah, bless us, our parents, our wives and children, our brothers and sisters, our family members, and the ummah with complete shifa from all ailments, sicknesses and diseases, spiritual and physical. Ya Allah, ek din marna hai, akhir maut hai. Don't let the angel of death find us in any kind of haram action. When the time of our death comes, take us to Madina Tayyibah. Madina Tayyibah mein hame maut naseeb farma. Jannatul Baqi mein dafan naseeb farma. If it is not muqaddar and destined there, wherever it may be, let it be in a state that you are pleased with us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made duas for us. Bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Protect the Haramain Sharifain, protect Masjid Al-Aqsa. Ya Allah, at present in Bangladesh, thousands of people have lost their lives. So many have become homeless, so many have become helpless. Ya Allah, unki takleef ko, musibat ko, pareshani ko dur farma. Ya Allah, wherever anyone is suffering, remove their suffering, their pain, their hardship and difficulty. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Koi mujhse puche main kya mangta hu, main apne khuda se khuda mangta hu. Koi mujhse puche मैं क्या मांगता हूँ, मैं अपने खुदा से खुदा मांगता हूँ. वो हो जाए मेरा, मैं हो जाऊँ उसका, यही रात दिन में दुआ. برحمتك يا رب.